change can be filled with hope, or it can bring doubts and fears of the unknown. As we negotiate the days and weeks of 2021, it's everywhere around us. This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. If you're searching for a way forward, seeking the confidence of a brighter future, you're invited to join us at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage, with song, praise, and the spoken word, as we follow our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or join us in face-to-face worship presented with all safety precautions, 10:30 Sunday mornings at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, February 14th, 2021. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Well, good morning. It's a little bit nippy out there, so there will be a precious few of us here, I guess. The Lord be with you. This is Transfiguration Sunday. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you strengthen your people. Give us the will to spread the good news and to stand against evil. Let your word light our path and guide our footsteps. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Let us prepare to go before the Lord in prayer. Let us center our hearts, center our minds, our purpose on this cold Transfiguration Sunday morning. Let us pray. Gracious, loving, and merciful God, hear our hearts and prayers. Father, before you all things are seen, all things are known. You know us inside and out. You know us and love us still. Those things that we would hide from the world, maybe even hide from those close to us, you know. You know our rising up and our sitting down. You know our good days, our bad days. You know our strengths and our weaknesses. You know our faults and our joys. You know our triumphs and our failures. You know our struggles. Sometimes we are a stiff-necked people. Sometimes we are disobedient. Sometimes we lack commitment. Sometimes we just seem to falter and feel far away from you. Father, sometimes we feel like we are right next to you and can feel your very presence. We can hear the brush of angels' wings. We seem to be able to hear even the angels as they sing. But sometimes, Father, we're so broken that we fear that you are not near. But Father, let us be reminded that Christ died for us while we were yet in our sins. Father, let us be reminded that nothing separates us from your love in Christ Jesus. Father, remind us that you know us and love us still. And Father, while that doesn't give us permission, it gives us understanding and should comfort us and strengthen us as we ask you to forgive us as we ask you to strengthen us in our service, guide us in our mission, instill in us your steadfast spirit, move within us, transform us into that which you would have us be. Let us glorify you and honor your holy name. Father, we bring our hearts before you, lifting many needs within our hearts, lives, community, and nations. Father, we pray for revival to break out in the world, a revival centered on love and grace found in Jesus Christ, peace and healing, that agendas would be laid aside except that agenda to love one another as we have been loved by you. To heal broken hearts, broken lives, to reach into the lives that are often messy, where they have been filled with addictions, where they have been filled with hate and abuse, to reach into those lives as agents of your grace and mercy. Father, remind us that while Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead, he instructed them to go and loose him from that which had bound him and set him free. You call us to be agents of your work, to be your hands and feet. But you are at work in the world around us. Let us hear from you, join you, and follow you. Father, as we pray for our nation and nations around the world, we pray for all those who suffer, who are sick, who are going through tragedies in their lives, whatever that may be, from natural disasters to just some things we cause for ourselves and the pain thereof. Father, we pray for the leaders in our community, our nation and nations around the world, that their hearts would be turned towards you, that they would show love, selflessness, and grace. Father, we pray for those who seek to know you and who proclaim you as the way, the truth, and the life. We pray that our witness would be stern but soft, that we would stand and say some things are just wrong, but grace is available. Father, give us strength to serve you and to reach out for you. We pray for those who suffer, those who are in hospitals, nursing homes, maybe even just shut-ins in their own homes. Father, for whatever they face, whatever they're going through, may they know your grace to be sufficient. May they know your presence in their lives and feel your spirit within them. And now, Father, we'd ask that you hear us as we join first our hearts and then our voices to pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Our liturgy for today is found in Mark 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today is Transfiguration of the Lord Sunday. Now, transfiguration is what happens to Jesus, and that's different from transformation, which happens to us. So we want to look at first the transfiguration of Jesus, because that's important. Because as followers of Christ, believers in Christ and the Word of Christ, the work of Christ and the grace of Christ and the resurrected Lord, something gets to happen to each one of us, and that is a transformation. Now, Jesus is transfigured. Transfigured means that you take on an otherly world appearance. It's like when Moses was on the mountain, his hair became white as wool. White as wool, and he shone and he glowed. It is something that God is doing that isn't changing who you are, but changing your appearance, so that others would see that it is God at work. So here we have Jesus is going up on the mountain, and he takes three of his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. I would contend that maybe they weren't his closest or best, but maybe they were the ones that were prone to get in trouble when he wasn't around, so he took them with him. At any rate, they're going to serve as three witnesses. In Jewish customs and history, the only thing that was necessary was two. But if you had a third witness, whammo bango, it was over with. Three witnesses was a trifecta, if you will. Those three witnesses would convict and hold, but also, we'll find out a little bit more about that. So now, I like it. I love to hear kids, and I hope you folks are hearing there's kids in church this morning, you know, and you're getting a miss. These little guys are full of energy, and, you know, I had that energy, and the thing I wish would happen is that we could bottle it and then take it out as the years take their toll and have a little drink of it. So for Jesus, these three witnesses go up. When they get up on top of this mountain, you can debate which one it is, but they're at about, you know, 9,000 feet or so, and they're on this mountaintop, and all of a sudden, Peter, James, and John see something happen. They witness and see Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus, and he's transfigured before them, and he's shining, and his robe's white, and there's this thing happening, and they're just standing there. I try to imagine things in the Bible, and I'm just thinking, you know, there's Moses and there's Elijah. Number one, how'd they know who it was? You know, because they'd been dead for a long time. Elijah had been gone for a long time. But somehow they knew that this was Moses and Elijah. So not only were they seeing Jesus transformed, but they were also being inspired by what was being seen. They were being influenced by that presence and holiness that was God's presence in that transfiguration. We got Moses, who represents the law. The first five books, the Pentateuch, are attributed to Moses. He was the greatest deliverer in Jewish history. He was the one that brought them out of slavery in Egypt, but he was also the lawgiver. He's the one with whom God met in a cloud on a mountain to give the law. So Moses represents the law, the promise, the covenant. Moses represents God's presence and deliverance from slavery. Moses and Jesus are talking in person. Elijah represents the prophets, the promises, that which is yet to come, that which you should not do or this will happen. The word of God, Elijah the prophets, Moses the law, the two witnesses of God are present with Jesus. And then the cloud shows up. Now you need to know about this cloud. This cloud isn't just any cloud. How many of you have heard the phrase Shekinah? Shekinah, Shekinah glory. Shekinah, that this is what the name of the cloud is. It is a Shekinah cloud. It is a cloud that symbolizes in the whole of the Bible the presence of God himself. It's the cloud on the mountain as Moses gets the law. It is the cloud over the baptism of Jesus that breaks open and God says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." 3.5 years before this scene on a mountaintop. This Shekinah presence is now God who speaks and they hear his voice. And this is my beloved Son. Listen to him, or hear him, some versions will say. 3 witnesses, the law, the prophets, and God himself, as to who this is. And he leaves from the mountaintop. Of course, we've got Peter. Let's go ahead and talk about Peter. They're nervous. They're afraid, and I would be too. And Peter can't help himself. Gets nervous, gets upset, gets excited. He starts talking. He gets in trouble in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember when he whops off Malchus's ear with a sword? You know, he's always the first one to answer, even if it's wrong. He's the one that challenges Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, if that's you. I'm not saying it is you, but if it is you, hey, call to me, Peter here, and I'll come out there and meet you. And Jesus said, yeah, come on, Peter. Peter says, okay, I'm out of here. And he makes it a little while, and then we know what happens. But here's old Peter. He says, oh, Jesus, it's really good for us to be here. We need to build 3 tabernacles, 3 buildings. We want to build one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. It's good. This is a good thing. You know, it's kind of like churches. When I was back in seminary and back in learning about churches, they said there were 2 ways to grow a church. One was revival, and the second one was a building project. So I guess Peter erred on the side of a building project. Let's build 3 temples here on this mountain and make this a holy site and box you in. You see, that's what we want to do with God, isn't it? Sometimes it's convenient for God to fit our forms and our agendas. Sometimes it's kind of convenient for us to tell God what we want and expect to rub the bottle and have a God genie jump out. But the reality is, you can't put God in a temple, but you can receive him into your heart, which to me is pretty transformative. You see, within each one of us, believer or unbeliever, resides in us that image of God in which we were created. I'm glad God doesn't look like me. Oh, this part. I look in the mirror and I think, boy, you're not weathering this storm so good, you know. We're looking at some wedding pictures from some years ago, and I'm thinking, man, where did he go? You know, this old person showed back up. And you know what's really bad? Is when they're talking about old people and the way old people act, and you realize you're one of them. You know? You worry about things that when you were 40 years ago, I never even gave a second thought. You know, things that you have to really take into consideration. You know, I do something in one day, it takes 3 days till I can do anything else. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, it catches up with you. But I want to talk to us about what happens. We see that Jesus was transfigured, proof of who he was. We see the Shekinah glory of God, the presence of God that puts the final seal on it, repeats what was said at the baptism, but this time the emphasis is on listen to him or hear him. There's one thing that I've learned in life is none of us who are created in the image of God hears too good. At least we don't listen so well. And it's natural. It is just the way it is. You know, it's like I was given an example this morning picking on little Nick for Sunday school. We were doing updates. How many of you just love your Windows computers? Every time you turn it on, you've got updates. And if you don't get them updated, something's going to want to update while you're... Anyway, we come in early. We get all those updates done. And I told Nick he had the keyboards for this computer, and he had the keyboards for the computers running the TV up here. And I told him, I said, when this one finishes, lay the keyboard up here on the communion rail. Well, when he got done, he headed back toward Tom's sound booth with the keyboard. That's not what I said for him to do, but it's the way we do. It's the way we listen, isn't it? You see, we listen to everything through a set of filters. We filter it, and we begin filtering it as soon as we hear it. We might not even get to the fourth word before we begin to filter it, before we begin to translate it, before we begin to put our twist on what we're hearing. And what Nick heard, which was okay, was, Tom, this is Tom's keyboard. Tom always comes in and goes to the desk first. So instead of putting it where Papa said up here at the altar rail, I'm going to take it back and put it back there where Tom comes in all the time. You see, he heard what I said, but he didn't listen because his listening got kind of taken over by what was already there, our filters. Sometimes we read the very word of God and the words are saying something to us, but our filters are kicking in. Our translators are working their way in, and we're bringing our baggage, we're bringing our luggage, we're bringing our joys, we're bringing our concerns. We need to realize we're bringing all that in here when we open it. As soon as we open it, most of the time we have a reason for opening it, don't we? That's going to set the mood for what we're going to get when we get there. That's why I tell you, take this thing, hold it up close, and pray and let God open and inspire it to you. Try not to go here with more of an agenda than God, speak to me through your word. But it's hard to do that. It takes transformation. In order to get here, in order to let God work on the imago Dei that is within each of us, every person lost or saved has a soul that is created in the image of God, not the skin, not the flesh. And for us, while Jesus was more like a transformer, the TV show where Bumblebee's a hot rod, Chevrolet car, it's black and yellow. I don't want to say that word. You know? And I will. Chevrolet car, and it's really a cool-looking car, I have to be honest. I mean, I had a Camaro one time. I did. One time. I had one. You know? There was two glorious days. The day I bought it and the day I sold it. You know, that was the days. Okay, test. Take a break. Slow down. We'll be back to Bumblebee. What was your first hot rod car if you had one? Fast car. What was your 55 Pontiac? Mine was a 65 Chevelle Supersport. 88 Porsche. Anybody else? Hot rod. Carrie, was yours a station wagon? You had a Camaro. Yep, she did. How about any of you and the rest of you had any hot rod cars? Dodge Charger, and it would run. I'm just picking, Ken. I just wanted you to reflect for a minute. How many of you have one now? Cleve does. He's got a poster. Yeah, yeah. I don't, because she does. She didn't say she had a hot rod. Jill has a hot rod now. I don't. I drive a diesel truck. There isn't a hot rod there unless you spend a lot of green stamps. Yeah, just a lot. You're too cute. It's a Ford, too. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. I think the fastest car I ever had was a 69 Herstal's 442 with a 455 El LeBrocken 2.4s. I took a and cut the hood out so they could stick out. There wasn't room with a blower. It was a really fast car. I got clocked at 162 in that car. I'm still alive. I don't know how. God, thank you. So back to the Transformers. So we got Bumblebee. Bumblebee's this Camaro, and Bumblebee transforms when there's trouble into a robot, but he's still a Camaro. He's still what he was, as he still is, but what was inside is shown now on the outside. And that is what the transfiguration of Jesus was. For us, we're more like butterflies. Our transformation is more like that of a butterfly. How many of you realize how a butterfly transforms? It goes in, it's a worm. It's crawling around on the ground. It's chewing up grass and bushes. And all of a sudden it says, "Well, I'm so tired, I need to take a nap, but I need to be safe." So it makes a cocoon, and it goes in there, and it goes to sleep. And then it wakes up, but it don't know something's happened. It went to sleep a worm. It wakes up, it thinks it's probably still a worm. And then all of a sudden, it realizes it's in the cocoon, and it has to fight its way out. That struggle of the worm is necessary, and the butterfly. If that cocoon isn't stretched out by the wings, and if that butterfly don't push its way and struggle its way out of there, it'll never fly. It has to go through that transformation from what it was into what God had really created it to become. And for us as Christians, we go from that sinful creature that we were, and we have to go through the struggles and the trials and the tribulations to bring us into what God wants us to become, to that time and place of transformation. Sometimes that period of cocoon stretching and breaking out takes a little while. Sometimes we get tired and need to rest from it. But we need to realize that as soon as we accept Christ as our Savior, God begins changing us into that which is in us, that imago Dei, that image of God, that redeemed part, and begins to change us and move us forward. For me, it's caused a lot of changes. For some people, it's not as dramatic as others. But for me, it's been a lot. You don't know how far I have come from where I was. You don't know how far God has brought me. When I step back and look at my life, I'm ever grateful for what He has done. The struggle has been real at times, that I bet you struggled too. The pain has been real at times, and I bet you know that too. There have been people on your journey and in your transformation that have been instrumental in that. Our cookie people, if you will, who have encouraged us, who have challenged us. And that's who God calls us to be as well. to be those who challenge one another, those who encourage one another. You see, here is the reality. Because the world would say something isn't true, doesn't make it untrue. Truth is truth, irregardless of what the world says. Truth is truth. The Bible is the Word of God, whether they accept it or reject it. Christ is the resurrected Lord, whether they accept it or reject it. There are principles in the very Word of God that we as Christians believe in, uphold, and should stand fast in. Because to do otherwise is detrimental to who we are and who God has created us to be. While today is Transfiguration Sunday, the season of Lent begins and gets underway. And Wednesday we have a Ash Wednesday service, which is kind of a sobering service to remind us really of what and who we are. Let us not stop the transformation. Let us let God work in us and through us, through the parts of the transformation in our lives, in the lives of the world, and in the lives of others that God will put in our lives. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Pastor, transformation's difficult. And I'm struggling with the binds of a cocoon, so to speak. Would you pray for me this week? Slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. Pastor, it's hard to get into the Word of God because my filters do kick in. The worries of the world and the to-do list and all the things that have a call upon my life. Pray for me that I can get into the Word and hear it as it says. Lift your hand and take it right back down. I want to pray with us. Our gracious and loving God, may we yield to your transformative power. May we yield to your work in us and through us. And Father, remind us that we are also part and called to be part of the transformation of others as we share your transformation of ourselves, as we love one another as Christ has loved us, as we share with them the truth of who you are into the world around us, that they may find strength, hope, grace, and peace. Father, may we truly share in your love, your mission, and purpose. And Father, let us be in humility in that service, that we may realize that we are agents of change, but let us also realize that change is often a challenge. And as the caterpillar becomes the butterfly, the struggle is real. But as the cocoon breaks and the butterfly spreads its wings for the first time, the joy of flight that it had never known becomes real as well. Let us know that we, through our transformation, can experience things we've never experienced in our lives before in new and different ways, and that we can know a peace that surpasses all understanding. Hear our hearts and prayers in the name of Jesus, our Christ and Savior. Amen. As we go, let us be reminded that all who believe in Christ are going through a transformation. Somewhere in that journey, somewhere along that path, though we do not know where that may be for them. Let us love one another as Christ has loved us. May we love one another. And now the peace and grace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you and bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.